good to have those of you visiting tonight. We're glad that you're here. Tonight I want to continue with the series of lessons we started a few weeks ago. This is based upon the Bible class material that we used at camp. That is on building a legacy or leaving a legacy. And tonight I want to talk about a life that impacts others. When you think about leaving a legacy, sometimes it's useful to think about your life as a puzzle. And you put together a puzzle and you know what you want the puzzle to look like. And usually, if we put together a jigsaw puzzle, we'd look at the picture on the box first and we'd see what that looked like. And then that would tell us what it was that we expected the outcome to be. And sometimes it takes a long time based on the number of pieces in the box. If you put together one that had thousands of pieces, it can take quite a long time. You just can't, dump all the pieces and expect it to come together automatically. It takes time. You have to search through all the pieces and find the ones that go into the right spot. And legacies can be the same way. You have to really know what it is that you want. What is it that you want to do with your life? How do you want it to turn out in the end? What do you want that picture to look like? And then you devise a plan to get there. And so when it comes to our spiritual life, we're putting together those pieces every day. We know what we want the outcome to be. We know what we want in eternity. We can see what it is that we would like things to be like. But what are we doing day by day to put those pieces together? So when we talk to the kids about this, we talk about the choices that we made every day. And, your legacy is not something that starts, at the day of your death or when you're close to death. It's formed over a long period of time in your lives, and there's choices that you make every day that really help define that. I don't know if you can see all those things that are up on the board, but some of these are from the workbooks that we passed out to the kids. So one thing that we did is we looked at some passages that help us to know the different things that the Bible explains to us that we need to do every day, or we need to do consistently through our lives. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." So Jesus here giving instruction to his disciples and instruction to us in what we should be doing with our lives, and that they should be consistently living the life that is according to Jesus' will and observing the things that he teaches. He wanted the disciples to do that. He wants us to do that as well. Tonight, Brother Christie read for us in Galatians chapter 6. Just want to notice a few things from that passage in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says, "If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." And so that's one thing that those who are spiritual, those who are Christians should be doing, is helping others. In verse 2, it tells us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And in verse 10, it tells us, "As we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are the household of faith." So right there, there's three different things that Paul is telling us that we need to do. And if you take the time to do these things, that's great. But as we talked about the puzzle, you have to take the time to find the pieces and put it all together and build that in your life. And a lot of times people don't take the time to do these things that Paul tells us to do. Restore those who are weak. Bear one another's burdens. And when you have the opportunity, do good to everyone. Another thing that Paul tells us to do in Ephesians, he tells us to let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. But only talk about those things which are good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. He also says in the same chapter to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he tells us to encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing.
in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25, he tells us to consider one another, to stir up love and good works, and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so that's just a really short list of some things that we can do in our life to help build for the future. But that's just a very short list. There's all kinds of other things, like in Psalm 119, that the entire psalm is a praise to the Word of God, and it implies that we need to be looking at it, that we need to be studying it, and that has benefit for us. 1 Peter chapter 2 teaches us that we need to increase our knowledge of the Scripture, because it's going to impact us and it's going to impact others in our life if we take the time to teach others and help others. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 teaches us to pray without ceasing. James chapter 1 tells us to seek wisdom and ask for wisdom. And Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 2 tell us that we need to seek opportunities to speak to others about the grace of Jesus Christ. So that can seem a little overwhelming when you throw all those things together. But what I'm getting at is that we have to spend time in our life doing these things. If we want to reach the right destination, if we want the picture to turn out like it says on the box at the end of our life, we have to do those things to build that puzzle so it all fits together. And so one of the exercises that we had the kids do is to talk about their schedule on an average day. And it was interesting to hear what they came up with, because you know it's a lot different than what adult schedules would be like. And they thought, well, we're getting up in the morning and going to class and doing different things. And some of them were a lot more detailed than others. And there's a lot of playing video games and other things that were thrown into that equation as well. But what the point was is that by the end of thinking about what they did every day, there wasn't a whole lot of time left for these other things that we're talking about here, if you don't make time to fit those things in. And, you know, Jarrell can tell you how my day starts out. My day starts out hitting the snooze alarm once and then hitting the snooze alarm again. And by the third time it goes off, you know, she pushes me out of bed. And so the way that our days start, the way that our days finish, you know, a lot of times it can be different based on the day. But where are we fitting these things in that the Scriptures are telling us that are important? When it comes to kids, it's school, it's ball practice, band practice, homework, playing video games, texting, and what have you. So chances are a lot of those things that really build for the future or build a spiritual legacy are not being done, or maybe not being done consistently. And why is that? That's not just a question for kids, it's a question for adults as well. Why are some things that cause us to not take care of the things that are really important? Well, number one, you know, maybe we say we're too busy, that we have so many things going on in our life that with either school or work or whatever it is, with family, that we don't have as much time for spiritual matters. I know those of us that teach, we have to find time to prepare to teach. But if we weren't teaching, would we find time to fit in those spiritual things like we should? And I've always thought it's a good thing to have responsibilities in the church, because it makes you study, and you really should be studying anyway. But when you have the responsibility, it helps you to prioritize something you should have been prioritizing anyway. But we have to put first things first. We need maybe to eliminate some of the things that take a lot of our time. There are so many things, you know, such as television. I don't know how many hours we tend to watch TV or spend on Facebook or whatever it is. If we calculated the amount of time that we spend doing things or reading things that really are not productive, it would probably be quite shocking. Maybe we don't want to think about that. But when we think about being too busy, are we really? I mean, is there something that could be eliminated or something that could be reduced a little bit? But another problem, especially with younger people, is other stuff might be considered to be more fun. And we need to remember what we read a few weeks ago about Solomon. Solomon said about the pursuit of pleasure that it was vanity. And the seeking after those things didn't provide anything of any value for the future. So sometimes it's a change of heart that's needed, that we have a proper desire for spiritual matters. And another part of it is we're not in the habit of doing things that are productive. And we need to get into the habit to fit those things into our schedule. Like praying. We may be in the habit of praying before a meal, but needs to be more than that. You know, pray on the way to work. Pray when you're in the shower. Pray if you're a student on your way to school, or at night before you go to bed. Pray with your family. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is telling us when it tells us to pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that every minute of the day that we're praying. It means that we have a lifestyle of prayer, that we regularly have prayer, and that it's important. If it's not scheduled, it's likely to get pushed out of the way, like everything else tends to happen in life. So you find a time that works, maybe even if it means getting up a few minutes early. And we need to make time to read and study Scripture. And that's very similar to what we're talking about with prayer. Schedule time to read. One of the things that with my work, I do a lot of driving, not as much as I used to, but I still drive a lot around the state. And there are, you know, spiritual podcasts or sermons and things that I can subscribe to on my phone and I can listen to when I'm driving. You know, it's a lot less depressing than listening to political news. And so you can listen to those things and it's helpful. And, you know, if you need to find time to study, that's a way that you can do it. You can listen to Scripture, or you can listen to sermons and those that are good teachers of the Word, and become more knowledgeable and get some insights on some things that you may not have had before. And so that's a very easy thing to do, and many of us drive a lot, and we could do that when we're driving instead of listening to Rick and Bubba or whatever it might be that we're spending our time listening to. And, you know, spend time with those who can be a good influence on you, that you can have Bible studies with. And it's a great way to influence one another and build one another up and be accountable to one another in accomplishing these things. And often we need to encourage each other as well. There's nobody really that doesn't like encouragement, I believe. And when you take the time to encourage others, it helps you and it helps that person that you are encouraging. So legacies, spiritual legacies, are made by having this kind of detail in your life. And if you don't spend time at it, then you come to the end of your life and you haven't accomplished what you want to accomplish. And so that brings us to the next thought in the lesson that we had at camp, and that was seeing your legacy in heaven one day. And what we wanted to show is that, you know, you've got daily activities that in the end really don't do a whole lot for you as far as being of eternal consequence. And we wanted to stress that activities that don't really matter are not really inherently wrong or sinful, and we can enjoy those things. In fact, Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24, Solomon said, "There's nothing better for a person that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God." And so there are things, you know, football games and band and whatever it is that we fill our time with, the things that we enjoy, there's nothing wrong with those things as long as they're kept in the proper perspective. But if we fill our time 100% with things that have no eternal benefit and neglect things that really do affect our eternal destiny, then those things can become wrong. It's like those that like to hunt. And I'm not criticizing anybody that likes to hunt. But when my father was living in Lakeland, there was a man that when it came deer season, that you wouldn't see him anymore on Sunday. And so that was just something that everybody knew about him, that when it was deer season, you weren't going to see him at services. And then one of the elders asked him one day, how many deer do you have to kill for it to be worth losing your soul? And that was a rather blunt question, wasn't it? But it made him think about it, and he repented of that, and he started putting God ahead of hunting deer. There's nothing wrong with hunting deer, but if he was putting that first, then those things that have no eternal benefit getting in the way of service to God, then they become a real problem. So that can be anything if we put it before God. So don't let things that are temporal, that are temporary, become wrong because you overemphasize them to the neglect of things that really do matter. Solomon speaks to this in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. He said, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure, enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the children of men to do under heaven during the days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water this forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I also had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of men. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart had found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for my toil. Then I considered all my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. Behold, it was all vanity and striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. Joel, I couldn't help but think about the Biltmore as I was reading the Biltmore estate that we visited last week. This is almost a description of it. The gardens and the servant quarters and all the things that the Vanderbilt family built there. And I don't know what their spiritual state was. I know that they were religious people, but you think about all the things that they wanted and could have, they all had those things in their estate. And Solomon said, I had everything that I wanted. Anything that I could imagine, I could buy for myself. And I didn't keep anything away from myself. And he says that anything his eyes desired, I did not keep from them. And so you talk about money buying happiness. He had the ability to do that. And he said it was all striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. That was the conclusion of the matter for him, is that it was all vanity. And so why do you think he says something like this? Why are all of these efforts ultimately pointless? And it's because he was striving after things that really didn't have any eternal benefits. And, you know, we don't need to miss that point in our life. And these things have been written so that we can learn from them. And it's something that a lot of times people do not understand and do not benefit from the things that have been written before. We need to benefit from the experience of Solomon. Let's read just a little bit more. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 12. He says, so I turned to consider wisdom and madness and folly, for what can the man do who comes after the king, or what has already been done? And I saw there is no more gain in wisdom than in folly, and there is no more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has his eyes in his head. The fool walks in darkness. And yet I perceive that the same events happen to all of them. And so when you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he talks about self-indulgence, all the things that he could get for himself. Then he turns the page over to wisdom, and he comes to the same conclusion about wisdom. And then he looks at toil and all the things that you strive for, and when you die, it just becomes somebody else's to do something with. And so everything that he went through, he's saying it doesn't have any value after death. And so I can work really hard to excel in my career and collect a lot of things, cars, houses, whatever. And I'm going to leave all those things behind. It's not going to help me in eternity. And I understand that there is some benefit to working hard and having some comfort or being able to take care of your family and provide for them in the future. Those are good things. But what we're talking about here is doing these things to the exclusion of thinking about an eternal future. And when we think back at what we talked about at the beginning of the lesson, a schedule and what you do during the day, what is it that we're doing that really is focusing on the real future? Not just 5-10 years down the road, but our eternal future. How many of our activities that we do every day really impact us for eternity? The bottom line is that we really do a lot of things that don't matter. We do a lot of things every day that don't really matter in eternity. And that's the point that the teachers tried to drive home with the kids, because you have a lot of kids that have their whole life in front of them. And this is a great time for them to plan and think about what it is that they want for the future. Where do you see yourself? And a lot of times they, as we've described in previous lessons, they would say, well, I picture myself with a family and with kids and being an elder in the church one day. And so they came up with a lot of things that sounded really good, as if they had really thought those things out. That's a good thing. But if you want to be an elder in the Lord's church someday, what are you doing now to prepare for that? That's not just something that somebody is going to award you with because you're old. It's something that is going to rely on your qualities and the things that you sought after when you were young, and then when you were middle-aged and getting a little older, you all the things that you focused on showed spiritual maturity. And that's just one example. The things that you want in the future spiritually don't come by accident. They come by preparation and by study and by prayer and doing the things that God would have us to do every day. So one of the greatest blessings that comes from following God is that He gives us work to do. If we look at His Word, He gives us work to do that really makes a difference. It makes a difference in the lives of others, and it makes a difference in our own lives, because it changes where we spend eternity, and it changes where other people spend eternity. It is a labor unlike what Solomon described, that's fruitless and it's vain, but it's a work that's not vain. It's one that really does matter. Sometimes people at the end of their life, they have a lot of regrets. And one commonly heard regret by those that are at the end of their life, sometimes people say, well, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Because they look back and they see they worked and they worked and they worked all their life, and they didn't take the time to spend with their family, and maybe they weren't the kind of parents that they needed to be, what have you. They look and look at how much time they wasted and wish that they had done something different. What they're saying is that they wish they had really made time for things that really mattered, whether it's time with family or doing good for others or whatever it might be. But once you are at that point on your deathbed, it's really too late to do anything about it. Or you can't go back and change those things. I'll tell you some good news is that Bob and Penny went up to see Bob's sister this week, and what I understand is that her life has not been what it has, should have been. And she really is at the end of her life because of her illness. But she's making changes. She's making changes to be right with God at the end of her life, which is a good thing. God has blessed her with that time. And Bob and Penny, that was a mission of theirs to see if they could affect some change in that way. So that's a great thing. And so sometimes people do have the ability at the end of their life to look and see, what is it that I have done? Have I prepared? What can I change to get prepared? And we need to use that time that God has given us. But you know, a lot of times we don't have the luxury of that time. You know, some of the things that you see on the internet, sometimes you wish that you could unsee them. But one thing I saw just the other day was a video example of why you should wear a seatbelt. And so, you know, I clicked on it, and it showed somebody that hit a barricade. This is in China, and it showed the person being thrown out of the car. Two people being thrown out of the car because two people in the front were not wearing seat belts. And there's no way that the two people thrown out of the car would have survived that crash. And so it was kind of a public service thing that China had done to show people why you should wear a seatbelt, because the two people in the back, they were buckled up. They survived, but the two in the front, they got thrown out of the car. Now, that could happen to anybody. And sometimes we may get lazy and not put the seatbelt on because we're just driving down the street or whatever. And what I'm getting at is that our life can be snuffed out so quickly. It may be something foolish that we do. It may be a health issue. It might be because somebody else driving another car runs into you and you didn't have time to react or whatever. There are numerous things that could happen that would not give you the opportunity to be at the end of your life and wait till the 11th hour to make changes. People don't know when they're going to die most of the time. And so we don't want to get down the road and say, well, I wish that I had done something different. We are preparing for death every day. And that's a point that doesn't need to get lost on us in regards to what our age is. Whether it's these kids that are going to camp, you know, they look ahead and they think, well, I've got my whole life ahead of me. And you know, in most cases that's true. But, you know, many times people don't reach that age because something happens. It may be sickness or it may be an accident. It might be something. And so if you're not prepared every day, it can become an issue. So the point is to zero in on those activities that if you do them daily, it's going to build you an eternal legacy, that you won't have any regrets at the end of your life. Most of you know that my sister Jill, she died when she was 19. It was very unexpected. She had not been sick. She had a tumor in her brain that caused her to have an aneurysm, and it, you know, when it ruptured, it you know, killed her almost immediately, or within, you know, several hours. You know, she was brain dead. Nobody could have seen that coming. And even if they had known that it was there, they said they couldn't have done anything about it because of where it was. Fortunately, she was the type of person that had been preparing for eternity in her life just as a young person. And there's no doubt in any of us about, you know, where she is now. And that's a great relief to us. But that didn't happen by accident. It came by her making good choices every day and deciding who it was that she was going to serve. And I've been taught, you know, the whole lesson about, you know, the good example that she was in our family and to others as well, and the decisions that she made. But that's just one example of somebody that, you know, we had all these plans for her. You know, she didn't always know what they were, but we could see in the future what Jill's life was going to be like. And we still think about that, about what age she would be and what she would be doing, and she'd probably be married and have kids. And so those kind of things pop into our heads a lot, but it wasn't to be. And she died at 19. And that can happen. So the bottom line is, to have a legacy of service to God, to be remembered for that, it takes a habit of doing things every day for the glory of God. And that will build a legacy for your future. And as we, you know, we kept using the word legacy throughout this series. And I don't want people to misunderstand that what we're doing is to build a name for ourselves because of any personal glory. That's not what we mean by legacy. But what we do want to do is to leave behind a good example, as we see with Peter and Paul and others, you know, Joshua and Caleb and others that we can look at in the Bible that left behind a good example for others to follow, that of ones that put God first, and then at the end of their life, then they knew where their eternity was going to be. That's what it means to build a legacy, to be a good example. And then you can be one that others can follow because they'll be on the same right path that you were on and be in the same place in eternity. So that was a bird's eye view of what we discussed during the week at camp, and we feel like it was a benefit to the kids that were there, and I hope it was a benefit to you as well. Certainly there are lessons in it for all of us that we need to be doing every day what it takes to be in heaven for eternity. So let's make those right decisions. If you haven't been making those decisions, make that right in the appropriate way, and if we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.